you may please go through that. We'll look into the corporate governance issue in merger and acquisition. Under the corporate governance, merger and acquisition transformation is, because it is involving the sensitive issue like insider information, valuation conflict, then related party transaction, then board accountability and minority shareholder protection, making the governors and the central protection. Therefore, it has to be ensure the fairness, accountability, transparency, and the protection of the shareholders, protection of the stakeholders. Now, board responsibility under this will be defined, and the board responsibility and fiduciary duties consist of that they should act in the best interest of the shareholders, balancing short-term and long-term consideration, disclosures and transparency, minority shareholders protection they should provide. Then related party transactions also need to be scrutinized, and insider trading and information symmetry, which is highly sensitive, and they often involves unpublished price sensitive information also. So role of institutional investors and active shareholders is defined here. Then post-merger governance challenges is integrating the governance structure after merger and acquisition is often complex, especially in cross-border deals. Regulatory oversight consists of SEBI, Ministry of Corporate Affairs, that is MCA, Reserve Bank of India, Competition Commission of India, and the closely monitor merger and acquisition activities. Now, CEO and CFO certification. Why this certification is required? The certification by Chief Executive Officer and Chief Financial Officer has emerged as an important corporate governance mechanism in India. In the context of this merger and acquisition, where the financial restructuring or financial structuring, disclosures and valuations are critical, the CEO and CFO certification plays a very important role in maintaining the investor confidence and regulatory oversight. What it contains? It contains the legal and regulatory framework. Companies Act 2013. Okay, then SEBI LODR regulations. This is the regulatory framework. Then scope of certification. The CEO and CFO certification is required to certify that financial statement presents a true and fair view. Internal controls are adequate and have been effectively maintained, and the company has complied with all the applicable laws, rules and regulations. Then relevance in merger and acquisition transaction because of accuracy of valuation report, fairness of the share swap ratio, disclosure of liabilities and investor protection and regulatory scrutiny. Then consequences of false certification. If any CEO or CFO issues a false certificate, then there will be a regulatory penalty. SEBI can impose the fine, suspend the trading, or may initiate the prosecution. There will be civil and criminal liability also on CEO and CFO. They may face the imprisonment, personal liability for misleading certification, loss of credibility, and weak certification undermines the investor confidence and may derail the merger and acquisition deal. There are certain recent developments happened in 2020-25. One is the SEBI has strengthened CEO-CFO certification requirement in the aftermath of accounting fraud and a corporate governance failure. Then, mandatory disclosure of internal control effectiveness has been emphasized, especially for the companies engaged in restructuring and or merger and acquisition. Then there will be increased focus on environmental, social and governance, that is ESG reporting, that has to be extended the scope of certification beyond financials. Now there will be provisions for the Income Tax Act. What are the provisions for the Income Tax Act? Role of income tax is definitely is important for implication of merger, amalgamation and acquisition and restructuring in India. Definition and amalgamation. The Act defines the amalgamation as a merger of one or more companies with another company, or two or more companies to form one company. That is amalgamation. Tax neutrality amalgamation, that is certain transfers in amalgamations are not regarded as a transfer under Section 47 of Income Tax Act. Then there will be another provision, that is carry forward and setup of losses. One of the most significant provision in the merger and acquisition taxation is the ability of amalgamated company to carry forward and set off the accumulated losses, business losses, and unabsorbed depreciation of the amalgamating company. Then there will be a demerger provision under Section 2. Then slump sale agreement or slump sales refers to the transfer of undertaking as ongoing concern for lump sum consideration sale. Okay. Then transfer pricing and cross-border merger and acquisition introduces transfer pricing rules have been defined under Section 92-92F. Then GAAR, that is General Anti-Avoidance Rule, is framed. Indirect transfer provision is also mentioned. Then amalgamating company, an amalgamating company is that company that merges or combines with another company in process of amalgamation. It is a transferor company whose assets and liabilities are undertaken and transferred to another company. Its a legal perspective is that under Section 2(1)(b) of Income Tax Act, amalgamating company means the company which is being merged under the scheme of amalgamation. Amalgamating company's role in amalgamation process, it initiates the participation in merger scheme. Then shareholders of amalgamating company, shareholders holding at least 75% of the value of the shares in amalgamating company must become the shareholders of the amalgamated company. Then tax treatment under Section 47, transfer of assets from amalgamating company to amalgamated company is not regarded as a transfer if the amalgamated company is Indian company and hence no capital gain tax is liability. Similarly, a business losses are covered under Section 72A. Then dissolution of amalgamated company is after scheme of sanction by NCLT. The company can be dissolved. Examples are a company A merge into one example. If company A merges into company B, then company A is equal to amalgamated company transferor. Company B is equal to amalgamated company transferee. The shareholders of the company A receive the shares of company B and company A ceases to exist. That is amalgamation. Thus, the amalgamated company is the entity that merges into another company in amalgamation scheme. Then amalgamated company. Amalgamated means the company which is absorbed or amalgamated into another company. In that case, it is also known as transferee company. Okay, transferee company. The unlike the amalgamating, the transferor company, the amalgamated company continues to exist after the merger and assumes the ownership of combined assets. Legal perspective, Section 2(1)(b) of the Income Tax Act, amalgamated company means the company in which the business undertaking of the amalgamated company is vested in scheme of amalgamation. This amalgamated company must be Indian company. The role of this process, amalgamation process, is it receives the integrate business assets and liabilities of amalgamating company. Issues the shares of other consideration, issue the shares to or others consideration to the shareholders of amalgamating company. Shareholders requirement for the amalgamation to qualify as tax neutral under the Income Tax Act, at least 75% of the shareholders by value of the amalgamating company must become the shareholders of amalgamated company. Tax treatment as per section 47 and 72A is applicable. Post amalgamation position will be amalgamated company becomes larger in scale and increased market presence, assets and shareholders base. It inherits all the legal contracts, Triton rights, the obligation and pending litigation of amalgamated company. Here is the example that you can very well go through for better understanding. Then we will move to another topic, that is cost of reference. Cost with a reference to certain modes of acquisition. In this, the merger, amalgamation or acquisition, it determines of the cost of acquisition. The cost of acquisition is a crucial for calculating the capital gain. The Income Tax Act 1961 Section 49 provides the special rule regarding the cost of acquisition for assets acquired under certain mode of such amalgamation demerger. General principle is that the corporate restructuring, that is amalgamation, demerger, gift, succession, etc., the cost of acquisition is determined on the basis of cost of previous owner, ensuring the continuity and preventing artificial gain or loss. Now, key provision under the section 49 of the special cases is, as far as amalgamation is concerned, the cost of acquisition of the new shares is equal to cost of acquisition of the original shares in the amalgamated company. As far as demerger is concerned, the cost of shares of the demerged company is apportionedly between the shares of the demerged company and resulting company in proportion to net book value of assets transferred. Gift, will and succession, trust, etc., where an assets is acquired through the inheritance, gift or trust, the cost of the acquisition is equal to cost of the previous owner. Slump sale, in some sale, the undertaking is transferred as a going concern for lump sum consideration without assigning the individual value to assess the liabilities. Therefore, net worth of the undertaking is equal to cost of acquisition and cost of improvement for computing the capital gain. Example here, Mr. F, suppose, I will quote this because it is very small. Mr. X purchased the share of the company A at rupees 100 each. Then, company A amalgamated into company B. Then Mr. X receives the shares of company B in exchange. When Mr. X later sells the shares of company B, the cost of acquisition for the tax purpose remains rupees 100 per share, that is the cost of original company A shares. Now, deduction of certain expenditure incurred. The treatment of such an expenditure under the Income Tax Act has been clarified. And the general rule for that is under section 37. Any expenditure than the capital expenditure or the personal expenditure laid out here wholly or exclusively for purpose of business or profession is allowed as deduction. However, nature of merger and acquisition expenditure, capital versus revenue, determines the deductibility. Expenditure in connection with the amalgamation and demerger. This includes the expenses. Expenditure for transfer of capital. Expenditure incurred wholly and exclusively in connection with transfer of the capital assets. Distinction between capital and revenue expenditure. Revenue expenditure is nothing but it is a recurring and routine business expenses. Whereas capital expenditure is the expenses that resulting into enduring the benefit, like cost of acquiring new business or expansion through the takeover, not deductible as revenue, but may be capitalized. So judicial precedent, they have clarified that expenditure resulting directly in creation of the new assets or benefit of enduring the nature is a capital in nature. Now, tax sale of the business and slump sale. slum sale is mode of transferring undertaking as a going concern where the business is sold for lump sum. So consideration without assigning the values to the individual assets and liabilities. So definition under Income Tax Act is given here as a slum sale, means the transfer of one or more undertaking as a result of the sale for lump sum consideration without values being assigned to the individual assets and liability in such sales. Financial Act 2021 amendment, there was a scope of a slum sale was widened to include all type of transfer. Then taxability under Section 50B, the profit or gain arising from the slum sale is a taxable as a capital gain. Then valuation and consideration as per the Finance Act 2021, fair market value, FMV, of the undertaking must be computed, and higher FMV or actual consideration is considered for capital gain purpose. Expenditure deduction. Expenditure deduction is directly like legal fees, stamp duty, consultancy charges, etc. can be deducted under Section 48. Tax treatment for the buyer. The purchaser or acquirer. Purchaser acquirer acquires the assets. Purchaser acquires the assets and the liabilities at the lump sum value, which then becomes the cost of acquisition for the future depreciation or sale. Distinction between slum sale and itemized sale. Slum sale is a total, a whole undertaking, and no separate value is assigned to the individual assets. Itemized sale is nothing but it is individual assets, which is sold separately. Similarly, the practical implications of merger and acquisition for the tax planning is slum sale allows quick transfer of entire business, but tax liability can be significant due to capital gains. Now, strategic choice. Company may choose between the slum sale and amalgamated demerger, depending upon the tax implication, cross-border transaction. In case of cross-border transaction for inbound and outbound slum sales, the FEMA and RBI guidelines are applicable. GST implication is also applicable for transfer of business as a going concern, and which is treated as a supply of services. Now, stamp duty aspects. Stamp duty aspect in merger and amalgamation is transfer attracts the stamp duty, which is a state level levy. And under the Indian Stamp Act 1899 amended and the respective state stamp act governing the legal framework. Indian Stamp Act 1899 as amended Finance Act 2019 governs the stamp duty on instrument relating to the securities and certain transfers. State Stamp Act laws property transfer like land, building, machinery, etc. They attract the duty as per the respective state law. And Companies Act 2013, while sanction or scheme of arrangement, merger and demerger is through NCLT under Section 232. The order of the tribunal is considered an instrument and attracts the stamp duty. Stamp duty different from merger and acquisition. Court and NCLT approves of schemes. Then business transfer agreement and slum sales. Then share transfers, demergers. Then Foreign Exchange Management Act. Foreign Exchange Management Act is empowering it under FEMA, empowers the Reserve Bank of India and the central government to regulate, to monitor and manage the foreign exchange transactions. The objective of FEMA is to facilitate the external trade and payment, promote orderly development and maintenance of the foreign exchange market in India, manage capital account transactions while allowing flexibility in current account transactions. Key features of the FEMA consist of shift from regulations to management, civil offense to criminal violation, RBI and nodal authority, RBI act as nodal authority, central government role, it is a central government which regulates the foreign trade policy, two categories of transactions, that's current account transaction and capital account transaction. FEMA and merger and acquisitions. Inbound merger and acquisition, foreign management, foreign investment in India, that is inbound merger and acquisition, foreign exchange management, non-debt instrument rule 2019, regulate foreign direct investment, that is FDI, in Indian companies, share transfer regulation, transfer of shares between the resident and non-resident, requires the pricing guidelines, reporting to RBI, and compliance with the entry rules. Then cross-border mergers, governed by the Foreign Exchange Management Cross-Border Merger Regulation 2018, permitted both inbound merger, foreign company merging into Indian company, and outbound merger, that Indian company merging into the foreign company subject to RBI approval and automatic compliance. Outbound merger consists of Overseas Direct Investment Regulation 2022, ODI. It is popularly called as ODI. ODI can be made via equity, debt instrument, or by setting up the subsidiary or joint venture abroad. Sectoral restrictions in merger and acquisition, sensitive sector like defense, telecom, media, insurance, etc., requires government approval. Then there will be specific compliance requirement under FEMA. Reporting obligation is FCGPR, that is foreign currency, gross provision return for issue of the shares to the non-resident. FCTRS is share transfer between resident and non-resident and vice versa. FLE is foreign liability and asset return annually. Pricing guidelines, share valuation must be followed. RBI, DPIIT, approved method and DCF method, internationally accepted valuation standard. Time limit is remittance for consideration for filing the returns within prescribed timelines, and approval requirement is there, RBI governor approval for restricted transactions only. Now, Companies Act 2002, Competition Act 2002, which consists of India's central legislation to promote the sustained competition in market, protect the consumer interest, and prevent the anti-competitive practices. This is in replacement of the Monopolies and Restrictive Trade Practices Act 1969, which was popularly known as MRTP Act, and established the Competitive Commission of India Act, right? The objective of this act is to prevent the practice having adverse effect on competition. Then competition in market, interest of the customers, and freedom, ensure the freedom of the trade. Key features consist of anti-competitive agreements, then abuse of dominant positions, and regulation of the combination, civil, not criminal. The act focuses on economic penalties and not imprisonment. The extraterritorial jurisdiction, CCI, can examine the agreement or combination taking place outside India if the impact on Indian market. Combination under the Companies Competition Act relevant to merger and acquisition. This is acquisition of the control shares, voting right and assets, acquisition of control over an enterprises engaged in identical or similar business, merger or amalgamation. Threshold for the combination filing revised in 2024. Asset threshold is parties jointly having the assets more than 2000 crores or turnover more than 6000 crores. They requires reporting. Then global threshold will be combined threshold of USD 1 million or including at least 1000 crores in India, or combined turnover of USD more than USD 3 billion, including at least 3,000 crores in India. The process is notification of CCI is mandatory for combination above thresholds within 30 days or approval. CCI will have a review phase within 30 days, a prima facie review, and up to 210 days phase 2, that will be detailed investigation of ECCC suspects. And the approval and modification and rejection will be given thereafter. Test applied by CCI in merger and acquisition is during this appreciable adverse or effect on competition, CCI considers the market share of the parties, level of concentration, potential foreclosure of the competition, barriers to entry into new players, and consumer benefit, efficiency, innovation. Exemptions are small target competition, so small target exemptions, then intra-group restructurings, then certain banking and financial transactions, then combination of approved under IBC, that is Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code 2016. Penalties will be for failure to notify up to 1% of total turnover of the assets, whichever is higher. For gun jumping, that is consuming a deal before the CCI approval, similar penalties is applicable. For making the false statement, monetary fines and potential invalidation of approval. These are the penalties are prevented. With this, we complete our discussion on this chapter. Thank you very much.